What does it mean that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of judgment? Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit on this declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the book of John, the 16th chapter, and in the last 2 weeks, I spoke to you on the Holy Spirit convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Because the prince of the world is judged, says our text today, as it comes to us from John 16:11. Let us first of all get acquainted with the vocabulary of this 11th verse of John 16. There is the word judgment here that we want to become more familiar with. And there is this new phrase here, the prince of the world, that we will try to explain. With the coming of Jesus, who sent the Holy Spirit, the whole world is placed on notice that there will be a universal judgment. Payday, Sunday, as it has been said by many people. On that universal judgment day, all the people of the world will be judged according to the works they've done, according to the language they've used. For Jesus said, we shall be judged for every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth. We shall be judged by what we've done with our money, by what we've done with the Lord Jesus, how we responded to the Holy Spirit, how we responded to men and women of God sent to us as teachers and pastors, and so forth. This universal judgment day will be the most thorough judgment that is ever being held. Our text is, the Holy Spirit shall convict the world of judgment. When you look at the Old Testament, you see that there's very little material on a universal judgment day. The overall impression you get by reading the Old Testament is that man was judged in the here now, and the judgment was generally imminent and immediate. The overall impression is that if you did something bad today, you would be judged or punished today or very soon thereafter. The first judgment of all times that ever occurred set the pattern for this. The first judgment of God, of man, is found in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, where Adam and Eve sinned against God in the garden. Immediately after they sinned, they lost fellowship with God. Immediately, they were cast out of the garden. Immediately, Adam had to start working by the sweat of his brow. And immediately, at the very first time that Eve had a child, she brought forth her child in great pain. It is immediately, 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 and immediately. So there's something about the swiftness and the immediacy of God's judgment in the pre-Pentecostal days. Oh yes, sometimes there was a delay in the execution of the judgment, but the sentence was always passed swiftly. The second thing we want to observe about judgment in the Old Testament is that the punishment was generally physical, and that the spiritual punishment was frequently hidden. The expulsion from the garden was a physical thing. The spiritual punishment was somewhat hidden. The destruction of men through drowning in the days of Noah was a physical thing. The burning up of people of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sexual sin, particularly because of the sin of homosexuality, was a physical thing. So as Jesus was hidden in the Old Testament, so was the concept of an eternal judgment, and so was the fact of an eternal hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Satan was also very much hidden in the Old Testament pages. My friend, with the New Testament, all this changes. The hidden things begin to be revealed. Now then, let me go from the word judgment to the second piece of our vocabulary of the 11th verse. And that is the phrase, the prince of the world. It says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of the world is Satan. Satan is revealed here as the ruler of the world. God created the world, but the devil is running it. Don't be fooled to think that men, presidents, kings, and senators run the world. They're only instruments in the hand of the devil and rarely in the hand of God. Jesus himself said here that the devil is a prince of the world. The devil runs the world. This is also brought out in Ephesians, and then of course it is brought out in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is being tempted by the devil, and the devil comes to Jesus and says, "All the kingdoms of the earth I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus did not contest that the devil was in charge of all the kingdoms of the world. No, the devil is the cosmocrator, the prince of the world, the ruler of the world. Oh, just think of it. Here in the days of Jesus, every single kingdom of the world was under the control of the devil. Every one of them. The devil said, "I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." There was not one kingdom in the days of Jesus on the earth that was not under the control of the devil. Oh, there were a few times in the Old Testament days, in the days of Israel, when God was in control of the Jewish nation. A few times there were godly kings, and God would govern through these kings, but these were rare moments in the history of humankind. So the devil was hidden in the Old Testament. He was hidden as a prince of the world. He was hidden as a prime propagator of evil. And this comes to us already in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, where we have his first appearance. For there he comes, masked, he comes disguised as a serpent, not crawling on his belly, no, as a creature standing upright. You see, the amputation of his legs followed the judgment of God upon him after he had deceived Adam and Eve. Generally speaking, in the Old Testament, the prince of the world, the devil, is hidden, there being about four exceptions and four biblical books where we read something about the devil. Then, my friend, we come to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, the first thing that Jesus did when he began his ministry is that he pulled the mask of the devil, he took the cover of hell, and he revealed the great judgment day. So this gets us to our text. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will convict the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So what does this all mean? It means that Jesus lived a perfect life, that he was able to become the perfect sacrifice. Because of that, he was able to rise from the dead and to ascend to God the Father as a judge. Then, as he judged the devil, whom he defeated, so will he also judge all people who have disobeyed the Lord. This judgment, the Holy Spirit will show the world through God's people who live in holiness, righteousness, and in obedience to our dear Savior. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. My friend, the good news is the devil's dominion over man, or his power to enslave man or to rule man, is destroyed by the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling all those who follow Jesus. The devil has been revealed for who he is, and Jesus now has his heel upon his head. It says the prince of the world is judged, his judgment is come, or the execution of his sentence has begun, and will terminate in the devil being cast into the bottomless pit to be tormented there forever. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The devil is no longer a competitor in judgment. He no longer has power to judge. He has lost. Only Jesus now rules supreme as the judge. Jesus will have the last word. Jesus will triumph. His people will triumph with him. All sinners will perish with the devil as the devil will. Oh, I suggest you flee to Jesus and ask him for his mercy. And once you come to him, because he's triumphed over the devil, he defeated him on Calvary's tree, my friend. Therefore, once you receive this Lord Jesus Christ, then the devil cannot overcome you. The devil cannot defeat you anymore. The devil cannot put you on the run. The devil cannot discourage you, for he that is in you, which is Christ, is greater than he that is in the world, that is the prince of the world, the cosmocrator. And if you will turn to Jesus, then you'll become part of that great multitude that is already gathered around the throne of God, having experienced the victory of Christ in their lives. And this multitude is described in the Revelation, the 7th chapter, the 9th verse. The Apostle John, in a vision of heaven, said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, saying with the angels and the elders about them, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power, it might be unto our God forever and ever." Does this look like victory to you? It surely does to me. It looks like victory, the victory of Christ and his people over the devil and the kingdom of evil. All, my friend, because the prince of the world has been judged, and you and I can live holy lives, and you and I can be like Jesus. And you can be like Jesus in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and God can dwell in your heart by faith. So the Holy Spirit shall convict the world of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Yes, he has been judged and sentenced. Now, how will the Holy Spirit convict the world of judgment? He will do it through his people who are filled with Christ's precious presence. A holy man or a holy woman is God's most powerful instrument to bring conviction of sin to those about him, to convince those about him about the righteousness of God, to convince those about him of the judgment to come. So the most powerful instrument of conviction God has on the face of the earth is his holy people. And one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is so limited in convicting people of sin and of righteousness and of judgment in these days is because most believers are lukewarm, and the Holy Spirit is not dwelling within them. They are not walking in obedience, but rather they have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. So it is my prayer, and it ought to be yours, that God will raise up a new generation of holy men and women of God through whom the Holy Spirit can bring powerful conviction, even as he did in the early days of the church, that the church might be cleansed from all her ungodliness, that the world might be saved. The Holy Spirit, when he's come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.